Adversity is any form of discrimination, injustice, exclusion, or hardship. I'd like everyone to think back to a time when you saw someone else facing adversity or being falsely persecuted. This can be on a smaller scale, seeing someone bullied in the hallway, or on a much larger scale, racism and segregation. Picture the time, the place, the person, other people, everything about the situation. Now, think about yourself. What were you doing? Did you take action to stand up for the other person? Did you stand back and watch, or keep walking, or assume someone else would help? Whatever you did or didn't do had a consequence. If you chose to take action, did this solve anything? Do you think you did the right thing? And if you chose to do nothing, was this the right choice? Was the problem resolved on its own? Or did you just abandon someone in a time of need? Everyone always says we must stand up in the face of adversity. But what does this really mean? As Christians, we are called to serve others, to treat everyone as a child of God, to speak for those without a voice, to oppose injustice, to do what is right, to be an advocate. Everyone here has some sort of privilege, whether it be based on your wealth, your race, your gender, your age, anything. And with this privilege comes power. Now, we can choose to abuse our power, or we can do something with it. We can use it to make a change. We can use it to better ourselves. We can use it to help others. We can use it to stand up for what we believe in and show the world that we as Christians are advocates. Advocates for discrimination, for injustice, for exclusion, for hardship, for adversity. We have the power, and we must choose to use it. We must choose to become advocates and not avoid adversity, but face it, challenge it.
Whether we realize it or not, advocacy has been a part of our lives since childhood. We were encouraged to stand up for the kid being bullied or sit with a lonely child at lunch. But as adults, issues can be much more serious and hard to reach. It can feel impossible to help someone halfway across the world. So what do we do as Christians when our people are facing adversity? Do we protest? Do we pray and simply let God resolve the issues? Is it up to us to decide? Unfortunately, in our world, there are several countries without religious freedom. Open Doors, a religious advocacy organization, provides surprising data on religious persecution. Over 75% of the world's population lives in an area with religious restrictions. Every month, 66 churches around the world are attacked, and 160 Christians imprisoned without trial. To some, this may sound disheartening, but we see it as a call to action. The Bible tells us to serve and protect our brothers and sisters in Christ. Our mission is clear. So how do we help these people? Prayer is truly the best resource at our disposal. Not only does it reach our God, but it encourages those enduring adversity that God knows what is happening and will help them. We can also use our power, whatever it may be. There are numerous advocacy organizations that accept donations. We can write letters to those suffering. We can lead a peaceful movement for change. And if nothing else, we can pray relentlessly. However, these issues also occur closer to home. On a WordPress blog simply titled A Gay Christian Blog, Joe, a gay Christian living in the South, offers daily devotions related to the struggles that he and other gay men face in their faith. Homosexuality is obviously a controversial topic in the church, therefore he endures bias and discrimination for his religion. In one of his blog posts, he emphasizes that prayer is the most important tool we have to combat the false Christians who teach hate. It is our responsibility not only to pray, but to be the true Christians who teach love and acceptance, and not to lose sight of this in the face of adversity.
Standing up in the face of adversity has always been uncomfortable, and it's hard to recognize what you should do in tough situations. What we know about the passage read earlier, John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, is that Jesus stood up in the face of adversity in order to save a woman from being stoned. What is not said is that the process was shaky and a bit uncomfortable, just like situations we are placed in. The passage states that Jesus came from Mount Olives to the temple compound of the sacred city. There he sat and began to teach everyone who had gathered. As he was teaching, the scribes and the Pharisees broke through the crowds, dragging a captive woman. The scribes and the Pharisees began to explain to Jesus how the woman they had brought had committed adultery and that the law of Moses commands her to be stoned. Then they proceeded to ask Jesus what he thought regarding her. Jesus is said to have stooped down and wrote a message in the dust. Biblical text does not reveal the substance of this message, but ultimately Jesus said nothing. People, however, continued to pressure him to make a statement and provide a verbal response. Jesus then said, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone." Jesus had saved the woman and went against the law of Moses by saying what he believed to be right. This can be used as an example to help persuade us to do the right thing in situations that make us uncomfortable or situations that we know are wrong but do not want to insert ourselves in or stand up for what we believe in because we are embarrassed. We as Christians and as people need to realize that even though it was uncomfortable and unideal, Jesus stood up, and so can we.
The story of the Good Samaritan is a parable told by Jesus in Luke chapter 10. A lawyer putting Jesus to the test asks him what he must do to inherit eternal life. Jesus then asks the lawyer to tell him what is written in the law. The lawyer says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live," Jesus says to the lawyer. The lawyer then goes on to ask Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus tells the lawyer a story of a man going from Jerusalem to Jericho who was beaten and stripped by robbers and left half dead. Luckily, a priest happened to walk by him. But when the priest saw the beaten man, he ignored him and moved to the other side of the road. Then, the same thing happened when a Levite passed by the man. Once the Levite noticed the man in need of help, he made his way to the other side. Lastly, a Samaritan saw the man in need of help. He went over to the man and cleaned up his wounds. The Samaritan then put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn where he took care of him. Jesus asked the lawyer, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" "The one who showed him mercy," the lawyer replied. And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." We are called by God to help others in their time of need. In the story of the Good Samaritan, the Samaritan treated the beaten man with kindness and respect when no one else would even lift a finger. This kindness and compassion towards those that we don't even know is what God has called us as Christians to do. He has gifted each and every one of us with talents and ways to help those in need. The line, "and love your neighbor as yourself," is one that sticks with me. Our neighbor that God refers to is anyone that we encounter on a daily basis. Our neighbors are everyone amongst us, near and far. We are all children of God. We are to love those who are in need of love and to help those who are in need of assistance. But sometimes it can be so hard. We are all selfish. We would rather help ourselves than help others. Often, we do the wrong thing. We see someone in need of assistance, be it near or far, and we do not help them. But Jesus pushes us to do things that are out of our comfort zone. If we cannot stand up for those who are in need of help, then what example are we setting as Christians? When we take the time to help someone in need, be it small or large, it impacts people greatly.
This could mean standing up for someone that you see as being bullied. It may not seem like you are making a profound impact, but it can mean a lot to them. I know that I have seen people sitting alone at lunch and have turned a blind eye and sat with my friends instead of asking him or her to sit with us. When I look back at how I acted on these occasions, I feel bad. Why didn't I ask them to sit with me? It is what God would have wanted me to do. I have made a conscious effort to be more inclusive at school and talk to people who look like they are lonely. For example, there was a new girl in my class last week, and I took the time to talk to her, get to know her, and show her where her classes were when no one else was making an effort. This made me feel very happy, and I knew that I had helped the girl become less nervous on her first day of school. But most importantly, I knew that God was smiling down on me. On a larger scale, there are people being persecuted in foreign countries. It's easy not to think about all the terrible things that are happening in countries so far away from us, but we must not forget about them. How can we help those who are being persecuted in other countries if they are so far away? First and most importantly, we can pray for them. We can pray that God gives people facing adversity the strength to overcome whatever they are dealing with. Second, we can take action. We can speak our minds and advocate for those who are unable to advocate for themselves. We can donate our time and our money to those who need it. As you leave here today, I encourage each and every one of you to think back to a time when you saw someone facing adversity. How could you have helped them? Did you do all that you could? Now, next time you see someone who is unable to stand up for themselves, I want you to advocate for them. It may be hard, but we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. As you go through this week and each and every week to come, I hope you all make an effort to stand up for those who can't.